Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Sanhedrin Mem Tes. We begin right on top on the first line, Asyuha LeYoav. Back to the story of Yoav, who had once been the general of David HaMelech. Now he was summoned by Shlomo HaMelech via Benayahu Ben Yoyada. He was going to kill him. He was guilty of killing two righteous people, one by the name of Avner Ben Ner, and one by the name of Asoel. And as we learned yesterday, there was a little bit of a back and forth between Yoav and Benayahu, and ultimately he was condemned to death. So Asyuel Yoav. So they brought Yoav to the whatever, to the Sanhedrin or whatever, and Dainei, and they judged him. Amar Leis, the Bezdin, or Shlomo HaMelech, turned to him. Why did you kill those people? My time called Taltila Avner. Why did you kill Avner? Amar Leis, he says, very simple, Goyel Adam. I had a right to do that. I was a blood relative. The Asoil Havoy, my brother Asoil, had been killed by this person, Avner, and I came to avenge his death, as per the Torah's allowance to do that. So he responded to Yoav, no, you couldn't do that. Just because Avner killed Asoel, there's a reason for it. It was justified. Asoel roidev hava. Asoel was chasing, was threatening Avner. He had a full right to turn around and kill him. Amalei, so Yoav responded, no, he had no right to kill him, despite the fact that he was being chased. Because we know, he could have saved himself. Latzila, he could have saved himself by striking out and injuring and disabling Asoel by way of one of his limbs, instead of just killing him. And the halacha is, Rashi brings it, that if a victim being pursued by a roidef, being threatened by a murderer, he has no right to kill his murderer unless he has no alternative. But if he has a way to disable him and injure him and stop him by doing so, he has a right, he has an obligation to do so. So he responded to Yoav, no. Avner could, you know, he couldn't do that. He couldn't save himself like that. He couldn't aim and Amar Leis, so Yoav responded, what do you mean? He was an expert marksman. Hashta b'dayfen chamishes kivanli. Ultimately, Avner struck at Asoel so perfectly, B'dayven Chamishis, in his fifth section, a certain area, very critical, vital area, he killed him right in the right spot, perfect aim. T'chsev ayakehu Avner, v'achar echanis, he used his weapon to strike him, ala chaymesh, what does a chaymesh mean? In the most critical place, v'on rabiechan b'dayven chamishis, v'mokim shemora v'kovit l'imboi, the exact spot where the bile and the liver are connected, basically, he was a perfect marksman, he's a professional. If you can do that, if you can do that, you couldn't better just strike at one of his other limbs and disable him, strike at his feet or whatever. He had no right to kill my brother, and therefore I had a right to avenge his death. Amar Lei. So the Bezdin responded, you know what? Granted. You're off the hook on this one. Nazel Avner. Let's leave that aside. What happened to Amosa? Why'd you kill Amosa? My time, Mikha Taltila Amosa. Amar Leis, he says very simply, Amasa was Meir b'Malchus Hava. He was a rebeller. He rebelled against my boss, David HaMelech. T'chsiv. We have a pasuk by Amar HaMelech. Amasa HaMelech. David summoned Amasa. He told him, go gather the people from Yehuda quickly. Hazikli, yes, ish Yehuda, shleish is yom. And he took his time. He procrastinated. That's a Meir b'Malchus. Deserves to die. V'ayelech Amasa l'adzik z'yudah. V'ayayichar delayed. Amalei, he responded to Yoav. There was a reason why he delayed, because he knew that a king's directive may not override Torah. Amasa ach and v'rak and darash. He knew how to interpret the words ach or rak in the Torah, which dictate that a king's power, as broad as they are, is still limited. You can't go against the Torah, and here it involved going against the Torah. What happened? He went to gather the people over there and he saw them learning the Gemara, Masechta Sanhedrin or whatever. Omar, he says, I can't disturb them. More of learning. Omar, k'siv kol isha shi yamres picha. The pasuk by Yeshua says that Hashem instructs him, anybody who goes against you, v'lishmul v'recha l'chol ha'shad tzavenu yumas, we put to death. Yeah, but up to a point. V'yochel afil divrei Torah, perhaps even if it involves violation of Torah, tamalem rak, it's limited, rak chazak v'amatz. So Amasa was perfectly right in delaying fulfillment of his mission until they finished learning. You had no right to kill him. If anything, the tables are turned. You are a Meir ben Malchus. You are a rebeller. You're going against Shlomo and David HaMelech. Elahu Gavra, this man, you, Yoyev, Meir ben Malchus, you're a Meir ben Malchus. So this is when Yoyev got word of the fact that Shlomo HaMelech was going to be the new king. And he wasn't very happy. Because really, even in the time of David HaMelech, he sided with Adonia, who rebelled against David HaMelech. Although he didn't really stray with Avshalom, who was David HaMelech's son who rebelled first, he didn't go along with him, but there's a reason for that. It wasn't practical. He would have, but it didn't work out. As we're going to see. Why does the Pasuk even mention that he didn't follow Avshalom? Why is that relevant? If he didn't follow Avshalom, it's fine. What is the purpose of this? The point is to say that he really wanted to. He would have been okay going with Avshalom. Ultimately, he didn't. Not out of loyalty to David HaMelech. He rebelled. Ultimately, he rebelled against David HaMelech. It was just circumstantially. My time, Leinota. Why didn't he follow Avshalom? Amar Belazar, at that point, David HaMelech's power was still intact and he was afraid of him. Adain lechluchis. So David Kayem means his power. His power base was still strong and he was afraid to go against him. But ultimately, later when he aged and he was already a little bit out of a commission, Yoyev took the opportunity and followed the next coup, the next rebeller led by Adonia. Rabbi Zochanina Amar, I'll tell you why he didn't go with Avshalom. Adain istagnine shodavid kayam. Rashi said istagnine is a term referring to stargazers and future tellers. So it's just an expression, basically. David HaMelech had his men who led him, who, you know, his entourage of advisors. In fact, he had 400 of these young men, David, who were in the service of David HaMelech. Kula b'nei yifas toir hayu, all born from a woman captured at war, as we learned in the parasha, this week's parasha, Parashas Kiseitze. Kula b'nei yifas toir hayu, so they were born out of war, and therefore they were mesugal. They were especially enabled to deal with warfare and be successful, so says the Maharal, beautiful word. And they used to run their long hair long, like the Goyim. And they would lead the troops into battle. They were the strong men, the intimidators. They were the ones who set the tone, scary people, intimidating people, and they were still around at the time. Therefore, Yoav hesitated to go against David HaMelech. Now, as an aside, says the Gemara, whether David HaMelech was being protected or promoted by these people, or whether his success at war was based on a more spiritual type of thing, that's the next point. This account deviates from Abba Bar Kahana's opinion. It was merely spiritual. His power, his success at war was based on his spiritual standing of David HaMelech. Il mali David lo asa Yoav melcham. If not for David being immersed in Torah, Yoav would not have been successful at war. So it was David's Torah that gave success. Il mali Yoav, on the other hand, if not for Yoav orchestrating the battles, lo asak David b'Torah. David would not have been able to have free time to learn Torah. So it was pretty much a joint affair. The chesiv, as the pasuk says, "Vayi David oisit stakel mishpat mishpat stakel chalamay." David was involved in making the bezdin and having the yeshiva. Why? V'yoyev ben Tzruya alat zava. So that's the continuation of the pasuk. The point of the pasuk is to point out why. Ma tam David asa mishpat oisit mishpat stakel chalamay. What enabled David to have freedom and availability to be involved in learning and promoting mishpat? Because Yoyev took over the war machine. And likewise, why did Yoav win his battles? Why was he successful? Because of David HaMelech's zechus. He was covering for him in the Beis HaMedrash. So we're not attributing the success to the 400 youngsters, the strong man rather to the immersion in Torah. Okay, back to Yoav. Vayetze Yoav mim David. So this was back where he killed, right? We learned that he killed Avner and Amasa. So this is the account of what happened. Vayetze Yoav mim David. Vayishlach malachim archei Avner. So they called for Avner. Vayishivu oisei. They brought him from a place called Mibor Hasira. Now there is really no place called Mibor Hasira. It's a term that the pasuk uses to sort of explain, give us the background, the basis, the reason why Avner, in fact, was deserving min hashamayim to be killed. My bar hasira, what is that? Amar bar bar kahana. These two items, bar, a pit, but here it means like a bowl, canteen, visira, and a thorn, garmulay la Avner shiharak, they brought about Avner's death. And Rashi explains. This goes back to the story where David HaMelech was being pursued by Shaul. Then he snuck into the cave there while he was sleeping and he took two items, this canteen, and he clipped off a piece of his garment. And then he went to the opposite mountain and he announced for all to see, look, I have these items, I was there, I could have killed you and make peace with me. And Avner at the time was an associate of David, and he could have just... Shaul, and he could have really used that opportunity to promote David's righteousness. Look, he was at Tzadik. Look, he was right here. He could have killed you. Look what he has. And sort of make peace, make amends. And he failed to do so. Rather, he badmouthed David. He said, well, how did he get the canteen from... One of our guys must have given it to him. How did he get the clipping of your garment? Ah, you must have... gotten it clipped off as you were going by some thorns, and he found it. So his failed opportunity, the fact that he did not seize that moment to bring rectification to that machlekes, that did him in, that brought him this einish that he was killed, eventually killed by Yoav. So how did that happen? How did he kill him? So he took him to the shar to speak to him. Basheli. What does that mean? Or Biachnon. Shar typically refers to the Sanhedrin, who's usually positioned by the city entrance. So what's the meaning here? Amar Biachnon Shadoni Din Sanhedrin. He gave him a trial, impromptu trial. Amalei, he asked Avner, my time of la Asoil, why'd you kill my brother Asoil? Well, he says, Asoil? Right of Hoya, he was chasing me, he was threatening me. Okay, but still, like we said before, you should have saved yourself by disabling one of his limbs. That's all you needed to do. Well, I couldn't aim properly. Really? You were able to aim perfectly into his body. You couldn't find another aver to get him disabled. And the pasuk continues, or does that mean? It describes the manner in which he killed him. Amar Bidam Rav Al Iske Shaloi. Rashi explains, Shal means Shal Ne'olech, removal of one's shoe. And he tricked him into bending down, and that's how he killed him, because he says to him, look, a Yivama whose husband died without kids, who has to undergo Chalitza, where she removes her brother-in-law's shoe, let's say she has no hands to do so, what does she do? That's what he asked Avner. And Avner says, what do you mean? She uses her teeth to remove the brother's shoe, and he displayed it, he demonstrated it, he bent down, and at that moment, it was just a ploy to get him to bend down, and Yoav struck him and killed him. Vayakeo Shem Alachaymish, that's how he killed him on Rav Yechanan, again in that spot, a critical spot, Levin Chamishas on the fifth side, Makom Shemora, Bekovet Lulim Boi, to strike a very, very vital organ, that's how he killed him. And now, it came time for Yoav to be killed by Benayo, sent by Shlomo HaMelech, who instructed Benayo, Veheshev Hashem as Domei Al Roisha, kill him, and this is the way Hashem will punish him for the blood that he spilled, Asher Poga, B'Shnei Adoshim Tzadikim B'Toyim Mimenu, for striking down two righteous people who were better than him. Who are these two people? Like we said, Avner and Amasa. And the Pasuk calls them Toivim Mimenu, better than him, and also righteous people. What is the significance here? Toivim Shahayu Dershin Achen V'Rakim. The reason why we call them Toivim, they're better than him because they, on one hand, they were focused on the Ach and the Rak, as we said before. They wouldn't transgress. They wouldn't allow the king's instruction to override a Torah dictate. as we said before regarding Amasa. He waited until the crowd finished learning. He didn't want to disturb them. And also Rashi brings regarding Avner. So he was instructed by Shaul to kill out the Kehanim of Noiv, and he didn't want to. They refused the order. So again, they were following the Torah versus the king's instructions, so that was on their side, but he didn't. He, meaning Yoav, failed to adopt this attitude. Vuloi Dorash. He didn't work with the Ach and the Rak, with this concept that Torah stands above everything else. In fact, as she says, he brought about Uriah HaChiti's death, right? Remember the time of David HaMelech? David sent him a letter to, you know, take care of Uriah, and he organized his death, he caused his death by sending him out to the front. So despite the fact that it didn't really jive with the Torah, it was inconsistent with the Halacha, he did it anyway. So they were better than him in this regard. Number two, we call them tzaddikim, shein bepev v'lo yasu. Despite the fact that they got explicit instruction from the king to do what they were supposed to do, they failed. They refused because, like we said, it was against the Torah. Who, on the other hand, he, meaning Yoav Bigeres, he got merely a written instruction from David HaMelech to do what he was supposed to do, us, and he followed, despite the fact that it violated the Torah. So we draw that contrast between them and him. What right does he have to kill them? They were greater than him in all these regards. So we described how he killed Avner, and now we move on to how he killed Amasa. Amasa l'nishma b'cherav ha'shabi ad Yoav. He wasn't cognizant, he wasn't careful. He didn't feel threatened by Yoav's sword. He didn't suspect in his wildest dreams that he's going to kill him, and he killed him. Okay, now we move back to Yoav, who was killed by Bnayo on Shlomo HaMelech's instruction. He was buried in his family plot, his house over there in the Midbar. Atu Beisei Midbar who? Why is his house called a Midbar? Omar Avidam Rab, Kamidbar, it's comparable to a Midbar in a positive sense. Yoav was a tzaddik. Ma midbar mufkal akol, just like a midbar is free for all to take. Af beisei shol Yoav mufkal akol. Yoav's house was open and free. He was about chesed, about stock, another reason. Kamidbar, compared to a midbar. Ma midbar menuka megedol arayis, just like a midbar, which is uninhabited, is free of all kinds of sins, of robberies and inappropriate behaviors. Af beisei shol Yoav. Likewise, his home, his household was a spiritual abode. Menuka megedol arayis was free of all these issues. Nevertheless, he made some grave mistakes and he was killed. What else did he do? He would give life to everybody. What does that mean? He would be very generous with his possessions, with his tzedakah. All these dishes, these small fish, or so whatever it is that he would share everything that he had. Time, he would take a taste, and the rest, he would ensure that it reaches the poor people. Parsley would spread out and send it out. So we discussed the story regarding Yoav, killed by way of Shlomo HaMelech because of his wrongdoings, his killing of Avner. Avner we sort of put aside, and we left with Amasa. And the Pasuk describes them as being greater than him. Tzadikim v'tovim menu. And this, despite the fact that he was a great man on his own right, but nevertheless, he needed to get that punishment for things that he did. Says the new parak, Arba Misois Nimsur LeBezdin. Bezdin would apply a choice of one of four types of death to various transgressors, depending on their, you know, their experience and the severity of their sins, as dictated in the Torah. What are the three forms of death? Skila, death by stoning; Streifa, by way of burning; Hereg, by way of a sword; V'chenek, strangulation. That's the wrong order. Skila isn't the most severe, followed by Streif, Hereg, V'chenek. Actually, it goes the other way. The most severe is Streifa, followed by Skila, then comes Chenek, then comes V'hereg. Zumitzvah and Skola. Until now we described the process of Skila, and the other ones are following soon. Amar Rav Schera, Amar Rav Huna, Kol Makim Sheshanu Chachamim Derech Minin. Whenever we find the Chachamim listing a list of items or processes, such as in the Mishnah, forms of death, Ein Muktim U'mucher, just like in the Chumash, we know Ein Muktim U'mucher B'Torah. Torah sometimes is ordered out of sequence. Chachamim likewise follow that type of concept. It isn't specifically in this accurate order. So the order is not critical, except for some very specific cases where the order, the sequence, the Seder is very critical. Chutz M'Shiva Samonim. those seven materials, detergents that we use to test a red blotch to determine whether it's merely a paint spot and not tummy, or it's a dam of anida and it's tummy. The Mishnah says it's not. We have seven materials used to determine the status of that red blotch. Shiva samanim avirin al kesem. We take the following seven materials and we run it over the stain. If it stays there, we know it's paint. If it gets removed, we know that it's dam. Number one is rectuffel, fresh saliva from a person that hadn't yet eaten today. We make recent saliva after chewing beans, meraglaim, personal liquid, veneser, uboirus, kamudiyav, ashlag, all these things. So seven in total. Tony Seif, and the Mishnah continues, it has to be in that order, because each one sort of builds on the previous one. First you put the rectuffel, followed by megrisim, which softens up the stain, and you proceed till the end of the list. Tony Seif, avirin shleikis sidrum. Suppose he did it out of order. Or shavirin shivatun ke'echos. Or he did it all at once, for lack of patience. Well, that's what the kumah doesn't work. Got to start over again. So in that case, sequence, order, seder is required. Rav Papa Saba Mishmei de Rav Amar, he adds another item to this category that requires specific sequence. Amar Af Arba, he says, oh, the four forms of death discussed in the Mishnah. How do we know that it's exact? Tani Midikam Mafal Rav Shimon, because we have Machlokes in the Mishnah. But Rav Shimon presents a different order, apparently. The order is significant. Now, why didn't Rav Schira make mention of our Mishnah in this category? He didn't want to get involved in machlokes. He discussed just one case, which is unanimous. Rav Papa Amar, I'll give you another example of a sequential requirement, which is critical. This non called Masim and Kippurim, all the avodah, components of Yom Kippur, the karbonis, etc., amurim al seder, which are meant to be done in order, imig the masl chaver, so all those karbonis, which were listed in the Mishnayis and all that, imig the masl chaver, if he mixed them up, so the later thing he does earlier, right? So switching around the order invalidates the whole process. Less liklum, there you go. So that fits under the category of sequential criticality. Vidach, so why did the other Shita mention this? He says, you're right, it is critical, but not for the reason that the actual avoida has to be done this way. Rashi explains, it's not because this avoida has to build on the previous avoida, which builds on the previous avoida. That's not the point. The point is because Yom Kippur, it's not out of chashivas, it's not out of significance of the avoided that has to be done in order. It's because of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur requires a certain system because of the day. Anything taking place on that day in the Beis HaMikdash had to be done a certain way, not because of the value of the actual avoided, but because of the Yom Kippur experience. Interesting twist. So that's why it's in a category of its own. Rav Huna ben Bishua Amar, I'll give you another item on this list, Asay the Tamid. What about the system employed in reference to the Karban Tamid? Right? You have a whole Seder in the Mishnah, you do this, and followed by that. V'tani Allah, and the Mishnah there continues, and sort of sums it up, Zeo Seder Tamid. This is the system of Vaidas Tamid. Apparently, the Tana is being very specific. Follow this order, or else, right? V'idach, but the other Shita holds no. Hahu the Mitzvah Ba'alma. Yeah, you're supposed to follow that system, but it's only lechatchila, it's a mitzvah, but it's not critical. Now, what certainly is not critical? What certainly does not require? What system is not critical? Afuki mitzvahs chalitza. So by chalitza, we also have a sort of a whole chain of events. However, if it's not followed, if the system, if the seder is mixed up, it's also fine. It works. It's not, as we have a Mishnah, mitzvahs chalitza. Okay, so this fellow died without any kids. His wife needs to undergo chalitza. Bahu vivim tei lifnei bezn. So the man, the brother of the departed, and the yevama, the wife of the departed, go to the bezn. Hayinayis nlay etzah genas lay. So firstly, we have a choice: yevam, marriage, or chalitza, which is the whole removal of the shoe and the spitting. So which way do we go? The bezn will advise him, take into consideration age and everything else. Shanamar Vakur Lizikna Iroi, they call him over, Vakur Dibra Elov, what does the Dibra Elov mean? They advise him. Okay, now they get to the point that they've decided. Chalitza is the way to go. Via Merish, she says, okay, you know what? He doesn't want to be Miyavi, man Yavi. He responds, Vuimer, yeah, yes indeed, Lachavas Lakhta, I'm not taking her. This is a Mishnah describing, you know, all the steps in detail. They were speaking Lashna Kodesh, and the next step is Viniksha Yivimta Elovlein Askenim, the Yivamba approaches him in front of the Bezn, Chatzan Ali, removes his shoe, Vyarka Bafanim, and spits in front of him, Reka Nigar Leinayim, saliva which is visible. Von Savamra, she calls out, Kocha Yasal Ish, this is what happens to a person who fails to take over his brother's household. Viniksha Shmoy Yisrael, again, Vamra Vyuda, Ravida used to give simanim, right? Ravida used to give simanim, we have no way to say there. So summarize it for us in very short form. How many steps in this process of chalitza? Mitzvah chalitza, we have kaira, v'kaira, chalatzis, v'rekekis, v'kaira. Okay, she reads, she calls out, he responds, she does chalitza, all right. But the question was, my kamash must have read this chiddush here. Take a look at the Mishnah, masisne. We see in the Mishnah exactly what happens. The kamash, one, the point of Ravida is, mitzvah, right? Starts with the words mitzvah chalitza. It's only a mitzvah. Mitzvah hachi. Preferably, you follow this order. The afich, but let's say you switch things around less than the bow. It's not critical. So that's certainly not a critical order. Tanya nam yachol. You find the same in a brisa that the sequence by chalitza is not critical. Even if it's done out of order, it works. Bein shehiktim chalitza l'charakika. Well, he started with the chalitza and then he moved on to the rakika, the spitting, all the other way around. The rakika l'chalitza, it works. Mashasas. What other sequential arrangement do we find in the Torah which is not critical? We have the begadim of the kohen, kohen gadol, mishamish v'shmeina kelim. He would serve in the Beis Hamikdash wearing 8 articles. V'hedid barboi, regular kohen only 4 articles. First one is the robe, right, the shirt, the long shirt, b'ksoynis, b'chassayim, the pants, b'snefes, v'avnet. Moiz v'len kohen gadol. What else does the kohen gadol have over the kohen head? Chayshin, v'eifay, right? U'meil, v'tzitz, his gold foreplate, v'tanya. Now, we have a brisa which says, actually, first up is the pants. How do we know the pants go first? On his flesh. So clearly, he puts on the mechnasayim first. So now the question is, v'tana, my time activated tennis. So why did the Mishnah, in the list of the begadim, mention the ksenis first? Right, so clearly it's not an order because the pasuk clearly requires the bechassayim to be first. We should not make krua because in the descriptive psukim describing the begadim, we have the ksenis mentioned first. That's why the Tana referred to it first. But really, the seder in the Mishnah is not accurate in terms of how he puts them on. So back to the pasuk. Why does it? In fact, the pasuk mentioned ksenis first. It first goes to bechassayim. Shun mechasi kulegufei adifalei, since it covers, you know, pretty much his whole body from head to toe, from shoulder to toes. So it's the most visible, and right? That's why it's mentioned first, but of course in terms of the way he wears it, the way he puts it on, first comes Mechassayim. Okay, so to summarize, we have the interesting point that although we find lists and sequences in the Torah, typically we say the order is not really critical, except for by the 7 Samimaran that we put on the Kesem, except for the Arba Mrs. Bezin, discussed now Mishnah, and to a certain extent the Maaseh Yom Kippurim is also has to follow the specific order, as opposed to say the Atonement, as opposed to say the Chalitza, as opposed to the Begadim of Kohen Gadol, in terms of the listing of the Mishnah. So although it's listed in a certain order, the list, the sequence, is not necessarily vital or critical. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rab.